Hello and welcome to number 14 in this series of occasional podcasts from Grunty Fennery, home of all things Grunty Fen. My name's Carol Carman and I'm only here to wish you a very happy Easter and remind you of all the goodies you can get from our website, dennisofgruntyfen.co.uk. We have all four of Mr. South's Grunty Fen books, we have greetings cards and maps, and of course, over 30 CDs and downloads just needing people to listen to them and relive the heady days when Mr. South would doggedly try to interview Dennis and Dennis would always get the better of him. But now for something a little different. For your free Easter treat, we've chosen the first ever episode of The Advice Shed, which comes from 1992. Dennis answers listeners' problems and imparts some sage Fen wisdom regarding such topics as current affairs, etiquette, cookery, and polite conversation, plus Dennis's thought for the week. Be warned, this episode contains mention of toffee in a blowhole, girls in the attic, a Peruvian nose flute, and boils, as well as heavy use of a kazoo. Over to the advice shed with Dennis and Mr. South.
Life is a mystery, a can of worms, a ball of string. Life is a history, a challenge and a journey. A challenge and a journey.
Hello and welcome to The Advice Shed. This is the first in a new series of programmes in which we seek to tap the rich reservoir of rural wisdom accumulated over centuries of patient cultural endeavour by those hardy yet compassionate, self-sufficient yet essentially spiritual, resourceful yet curiously innocent...
How much longer are you going on?
...combative... yet deeply peace-loving people who dwell here in the Fens.
Well, ask me, have you done yet?
Increasingly, our society finds itself turning aside from the inadequate nostrums of a mechanistic and pragmatic approach to the human condition.
Oh, get on with it.
Seeking deeper, more enduring verities long garnered from the reluctant Fen landscape by
the... If you don't give over, there won't be any time for me. Give me advice the way you keep going on.
...by the sturdy Fenmen... foremost among whom we find Dennis of Grunty Fen, my host here today in this humble shack he calls his advice shed.
You do.
And it's my purpose during this programme and during the weeks ahead to explore the Fen approach to the exigencies of existence, consulting not the learned scholars in the groves of academe, but this horny-handed son of toil. Right, now... let's get started.
Right, heaven for that. You might just blooming mail everything you do, blathering on like some old woman what got her bodice back to front or something.
Each week we will tackle a range of crucial topics exercising an anxious world. And the first topic this week is affairs of the heart. Well, go on.
What?
Play it. Play the little signature tune we rehearsed for Affairs of the Heart.
Well, then was I supposed to know you was ready? You've been chattering all your own nonsense along. I have nodded off down here. Now you caught me by surprise.
Did you say you had enough warning?
Oh, I got it out when you started, but then you went on and on and on. I put it back into my pocket again, didn't I?
What?
Well, me kazoo.
Get it out again.
That's got toffee in its blowhole now, and I can't play with toffee in me blowhole, can I?
Dennis, will you please just play the Affairs of the Heart jingle?
I'll let the sack off the toffee first.
Oh, quickly then, please.
Oh, God, now I've got sticky fingers. I can't play my guitar with sticky fingers, can I? I've got toffee in me blowhole and a tacky plectrum now.
Just do your best. Affairs of the Heart. We've received a number of letters from listeners wishing to consult Dennis for advice over crises in their personal relationships with the opposite sex. Here is one, chosen at random, from Doreen of Ramsey.
Oh, go on.
Now listen, Dennis, because you're going to have to give some advice.
All right.
Doreen writes, "Dear Dennis, I hope you can help me.
I'll do my best.
Me and my Reg have been wed 24 years, and he has always been very loving, and there's never been any messing around.
That's all right, then.
But now I've got me doubts about him. Reg is acting strange.
Well, they do after a while.
I've got my hands full with 10 kids to raise on his money, and he don't earn much down at the jam works, shoveling scum off the vats, which is only semi-skilled and no perks.
No perks?
It's hardly surprising if I've lost me looks, what with all these kids and having to work all hours, but I think I have lost him to other girls. Reg hasn't said anything, and I haven't actually seen them, truth to tell, but I'm sure he's got a whole lot of girls up in our roof.
They've got a big roof.
I hear them laughing and talking of an evening, and I can smell their bacon of a morning.
Well, you feed them then.
I reckon he brings them back from the jam factory and sneaks them into our attic when I'm busy in the scullery. I don't know how many he's got up there, but at least three. There's one talk like she come from Maney.
Yeah, well, that's sort of nasal, aren't they?
And one that talk like people talk at Parsons Drove.
Yeah, lisp a lot of them.
There's another one with a squeaky laugh that might come from out Foul Anchor way.
Yeah, I know the one from Maney.
Dennis, what do you think? This is Doreen asking you, Dennis. Well, Dennis, what do you think? Should I say something to Reg about these girls he keeps in the roof? Or is it just a phase he's going through? I don't want no trouble. Your faithful listener, Doreen. P.S. Could I have your grand's recipe for cheese straws?
Yeah,
well, Dennis, that's a tragic human drama unfolded there. What's your advice to Doreen? Should she talk to her husband about these girls he's keeping in the attic?
Well, there's one thing more that interests me about that letter your number says.
Good. What's that?
Well, he said he's got this here job, shovelling the scum off the vats down the jam factory, didn't he?
Well, yes.
Yeah, well, he said he didn't get no perks in his job. We noticed that straight away.
Well, yes.
Well, that interests me, you see.
What do you mean it interests you?
Well, what do we do with the scum?
Dennis, what's this got to do with the girls in the attic?
Well, I mean, that'd be a wicked waste if he just chucked it away, wouldn't it?
Well, the scum.
Well, there's a lot of good nourishment in jam scum,
Dennis,
you know?
I don't think
me
this...
Me gran
is...
give it to the ducks, you know.
Dennis...
Dote on jam scum, you know.
Dennis,
trouble that's... is they get it all round his beaks, you know, and they get all gummed up sometimes. They can't quack properly, you know. And I remember
Dennis.
Sometimes if you throw them a worm after you've given them jam scum, then...
Dennis...
I noticed old Brian, you know, he had to put his foot on the worm until he can get his beak free and then
Dennis,
he can gobble it down,
what,
you see.
Dennis, what about the girls that her husband, Reg, sneaks into the roof with? That's the question.
Well, I only got one thing to say to Doreen.
Well, what is that?
Least said, soonest mended.
That's it. That's all you've got to offer, Doreen.
Well, she got herself into it, didn't she? Marrying Reg in the first place. She only got herself to blame.
Right, let's move on to our next topic. Well, go on, play the World Affairs jingle.
Well, what do you want? On me jew's harp, on me mouth organ, on me guitar, on me banjo?
The instrument is immaterial. Just play it.
And the trouble is I've got toffee on me jew's harp and pearl barley in me mouth organ.
But then play your kazoo.
With or out guitar or with banjo.
I don't care if you play it on a Peruvian nose flute.
I ain't got one of them.
Play it. Matters of moment. A question of current affairs. Seldom in the long march of the rich tapestry of European history through warfare and peace
what
and...
What do you mean the long march of the rich tapestry of European history?
Well, what do you mean? What do I mean?
Well, a tapestry can't march, can it?
It's a form of words. It doesn't mean a... tapestry, literally.
Well, what did you say it for, then?
It's a figurative phrase.
Have you ever seen a tapestry marching?
Well, no, I haven't, but...
Well, what did you say it for, then? That's stupid, that's
well,
daft.
Well,
confused people.
Change it, then. Seldom in the long pageant of European history through warfare and
peace... That's better, that make more sense. I've seen a pageant march. We had a pageant named Granty Fenn for a coronation. That marched all the way from post office to rubbish dump and back again. That little very
can
good,
those...
that
was. Can those benighted nations, which hitherto huddled under the cruel hegemony of the repugnant communist creed, have faced a greater ordeal than now?
Hegemony? What sort of weed that grew round hedges, I suppose, is it? A sort of weedy, hedgy sort of thing.
Uzbekistan.
We got some of that round the back of Delania. Call that, don't half stink, you know.
Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan.
Round the back of the privy and all, but that died off, you know. That got too lush, and I reckon that outgrew its strength, you know.
Moldavia, Azerbaijan, Kyrgyzstan, Latvia.
You're making them up.
Armenia, Estonia, Azerbaijan.
You said that one twice.
Which one? Kazakhstan, and not forgetting Mother Russia herself, all grappling with economic collapse and civil strife. Dennis, How do you think things look here from the viewpoint of the English countryside? Do you expect things to develop badly or favourably in the days ahead?
Stuff.
Stuff?
Stuff.
What do you mean, stuff?
Well, here on the fen myself, you know what happens when people get themselves into a pickle like what the rescuers have?
What?
Well, it all come down to one thing, and that is stuff.
Stuff?
Well, there's a lot of stuff come available, you know, when they start fighting and that.
What do you mean,
bits
stuff?
It's a barrage balloon, army boots, khaki blankets, tins of spam and all that sort of stuff.
You see the former Soviet Union as a source of spam and blankets?
Well, that's always the same in war, you know. Now, if I could get me old barrow over to Russia now, you see.
A barrow?
Clean up. I'd be rich, man, if I could get me barrow over to Russia and pick up some of that stuff, myself.
I think we'd better move straight on to the next topic.
Home on the Range, the cookery column of the Air.
Well, what's this week's tasty morsel,
well,
Dennis?
That's one of Sal Field's recipes from the Grunter, you know.
Oh, yes, the Grunter, the Grunty Fen Parish magazine. Yeah, what's the recipe for?
Chip sandwiches.
Chip sandwiches.
Yeah, Sal's got a knack with chip sandwiches. Kids love them, you know.
What knack? Come to that. What is a chip sandwich? It sounds disgusting.
Well, that's a sandwich made out of chips, isn't it? Stupid.
What's the knack?
Well, first, fry your chips. Do not attempt to arrange them on a slice of mother's pride until you have cooled down. Else you burn your fingers, and anyway, the fat make the bread all soggy. Lay the chips side by side, but leave a good gap between them before you put them on a top slice of mother's pride, you see. That way your chip sandwich will always be a success.
Oh, it's a real gastronomic treat there from Sally Field. Just one thing, Dennis, why is it important to leave a good gap between the chips when you're laying them side by side? Is that an economy measure? I suppose you could reduce the number of chips in each sandwich by leaving a gap between them.
No, that's for your sauce.
Oh.
You know nothing about cookery. I mean, you can have either sweet or savoury, you see, can't you? Well, you can either have your HP for savoury, or if you want more sweet, then you have your mark of ketchup. If you cram the chips in a sandwich, then there's no space for the sauce, is there?
Oh, I see. I shouldn't have
thought anyone would have known that.
Well, I'm sorry. Somehow it had escaped my attention up to now.
If you leave a gap, the sauce can settle in between the chips. Lovely,
right,
can't
it? Thank you. Very valuable tip indeed.
If you lay the chips up tight, like what you do when you're making a bridge of sleepers across a culvert or something
Dennis,
like that,
I think we should move on to another topic.
For the sauce to go when you take a bite and that shoot out all over everywhere.
Thank
and
you,
all down
and
your
now,
mat and make ever such a mess.
Let's move on, Dennis.
You can do some nasty injury if you're sitting next to someone take a bite out of a badly made chip sandwich, you
time,
know.
Time now.
Sometimes you get a whole chip come sliding straight out, you know.
Time
and
now.
Might go in somebody's eye.
For a change of topic now, Dennis.
Modern manners. Hints on etiquette for the 90s.
And what aspect of modern manners are we tackling this week, Dennis?
Table manners.
Ah, good, table manners. Any particular aspect of table manners?
Never lick the mustard spoon.
Never lick the mustard spoon. Well, sound advice, I'm sure. Perhaps you'd better explain exactly why one should never lick the mustard spoon.
Well, that's obvious, isn't it?
Even so, Dennis.
That make your eyes water.
Yes.
And then that make your nose run.
I see,
and
yes.
Then you've got to blow your nose at the table, ain't
oh,
you?
Oh, and of course, and that's awfully bad manners, blowing your nose at the table. Right,
well, it's
now.
Not so much blowing your nose what put people off. That's what you bring out of your pocket with your handkerchief, isn't it?
What you bring out?
Well, sort of wood shavings and grit and sort of interesting stones, what you picked up.
Dennis,
you know.
I can think of other reasons for not licking the mustard spoon.
It's very bad if you've got company and you've laid on a nice jelly for them.
You've laid on
like
a
that.
Jelly.
Say you've got a jelly on the table all quivering there in the shape of a rabbit.
A rabbit.
And you take a lick of the mustard spoon and you're always smart and you have to get your handkerchief out and all sorts of debris start landing on the jelly.
Quite
there's
so,
nothing
Dennis.
Worse than a gritty jelly.
Thank you,
you
Dennis,
know?
Thank you. And so much for modern manners. We look forward to your next lesson in etiquette.
Chatterbox, the art of polite conversation.
Dennis, what is the chief principle of the art of polite conversation?
Never mention your boils.
Well, so I should think.
Never mention your boils and your scabs.
Well, I think you hardly need explain why it's unwise to choose boils and scabs as a conversational topic.
Boils, scabs and verrucas.
Self-evidently
ringworm. Because if you mention your boils or your scabs or your verrucas or your wingworm, you see, the person what mentioned them is bound to start mentioning theirs, and then before you know where you are, they all start scratching and picking, and that only lead to one thing.
One thing.
Well, they all had to get them out and show each other then.
Oh, of course,
they?
And civilised people do not want to spend their time contemplating one another's scabs and boils.
That's
and
a funny thing, that, you know. And
what's a funny thing?
Well, how your own scabs and boils, verrucas and that can be quite interesting to look at, but no one ever liked looking at someone else's, do they?
Alas, that's all we have time for
oh,
the advice shed this week.
Oh, Woolly always tried to get me to look at his verrucas, you know.
Dennis, I don't think we want
he
to.
He go
know.
Off in half, but I can't bear to.
We have
turn
time.
My stomach, you know, when he get them out.
And now for the final section from this week's first edition of the Advice Shed.
Thought for the week.
And what is this week's thought, Dennis?
That's always darkest before you're born.
It's always darkest before you're born. Are you sure you got that right?
See, you keep on carping. I ain't going to do no more of this, you know. You're
Dennis, will you...
finding fault in you. Doing
will you sing your Advice Shed goodbye song, please?
Life is a mystery, a can of worms, a ball of string. Life is a history, a challenge and a journey, a challenge and a journey.
Well, we'll leave you to figure out the wisdom of Dennis's words. Thank you for listening to our podcast. And if you're new to us, there's more free podcasts and plenty of information about Dennis, Mr. South, and the wonderfully bleak world of Grunty Fen on our website, dennisofgruntyfen.co.uk. You can follow Dennis on Facebook, and if you'd like to join our mailing list so we can let you know when a new podcast or CD is coming out, please email us on info@dennisofgruntyfen.co.uk. We won't bombard you with stuff, but may surprise you a couple of times a year with an email. From all of us here, we hope you have a very happy and peaceful Easter. Take care, and remember, that's all in your life.